It's Sunday morning,
June 12th. Lord, we'd ask that you'd come and have your hand upon our service today, Lord God, that you'd send your Holy Spirit, that you would reveal yourself to us through your word, and that you would continue to bless each and every one that's here, Lord God. And Lord, we'd ask that your gifts would follow, Lord. We ask you to continue to work in our lives and meet the needs that we have, and just give us the patience and understanding to know that it is your will and your plan that is being executed, and to keep us content in that knowledge. Lord, we just ask that you continue to work in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. In the fourth chapter of John, Jesus is talking to the woman of Samaria, and he said, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what, we worship what we know, and what we worship, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth."
That was in 4. What verse? I missed.
Well, the last verse that I read was verse 24.
Oh, okay.
21 through 24.
Thank you.
I have sat on a revelation for quite a while, and it gets more obvious every night. I listen to the scriptures all night long, and so when I wake up, I'm hearing them, and it's becoming obvious to me that there's a scripture in Isaiah 28 where it says that, "For with stammering lips and another tongue would he speak to this people," that God has something through the ministry of receiving the Holy Spirit. And there's so many scriptures that are tied into this thing. And there's no way on this earth that I can fit all of them into the area or whatever, or even remember them. But on the day of Pentecost, when they received the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues, and things happened, it was the beginning of something that was phenomenal, and we have not really appreciated it, myself included. I received the Holy Spirit over 60 years ago, and I don't know of any time in my life that I could not pray in the Spirit in those years. And I have seen some real amazing things happen, and I'm not saying this because that I was speaking in tongues, but I have seen, I was talking to somebody the other day, I said, I have probably seen 15 or 20 miracles, and profound miracles. I never caused any of them. I just saw them. And I think that a lot of it had to do with the fact that there's always been this part of me that was tuned into the Spirit, or tuned in especially to, you know, the second chapter of Acts. But this has had an indelible, profound effect on me in the last couple of months. And I had this experience where the Lord spoke, and I knew that we should be hearing the Scriptures. And what I want to say is, not that this has developed into anything like that, but it's on the same line. It's a revelation. And God wants to, He wants to help us pray. He wants to pray through us. He wants to use our tongues and our whatever it is. You know, as the Bible says, we are co-workers together with God. And I don't know to the extent of that, but I'm thinking that that God wants to be using us in a variety of ways. And one of them is, like in the 8th chapter of Romans, where it says, we know not how to pray as we ought. Well, I've realized that for a long time. I don't really know how to pray. But at the same time, I have had an experience in the last few months where I thought about this war in Ukraine and the goofy government that we have and a lot of things. I felt pray about it, and in the middle of the night, I laid there and I prayed about it, and I prayed in tongues. And I thought, I don't know what I'm praying for. But at the same time, God is doing something here. And the next thing I know, I could feel that this was affecting it. You know how it says that Elijah was a man of like passions, and yet he didn't, and yet he prayed for 3.5 years, it didn't rain in Israel, and then he did pray and it rained. Well, you know, I'm sure he didn't do this on his own accord. I'm sure that God was behind it. And I think God is behind this, even though I bet if a little bit weak at what I've seen, but I'm not weak in the middle of the night. I have had some real good messages night after night after night, and I wake up and I get here and I'm a little bit stumbling, but I tell you what, we are going to discover something not too long, and God is going to do it. God is going to cause us to come into a different realm of relationship with Him through the Spirit, see? We don't know how to worship as we or to pray as we should. We don't know how to worship as we should, because God is so awesome and so unbelievable that He can understand. He can read the thoughts in our heads. There's not any thought that you could have that He can't read. There's not anything that about us that He does not know. And so, who is this that has an ability like that? And yet I know it's true. I know He can do it. And anyway, just prompt me ever so often. I'll add some more to it. I'm glad to see Pablo. Really glad.
You know, Keith, as you were talking about those miracles you've seen, and you knew that it wasn't you, it reminded me of Jesus. You know, Jesus saw a lot of miracles, but He didn't have anything to do with them. God did.
Yeah.
You know, and if we keep reminding ourselves that just because Jesus was there and praying doesn't mean that the miracles happened because Jesus was there and praying. They're happening because God moved.
Yeah.
having the gift of this, of speaking in tongues is really, I mean, besides being wonderful, okay, it gives us all an out. And sometimes when you're trying to pray for something and you're frustrated because you don't, you're going, I want to pray this, and no, wait, I want to pray that, I want to pray my way. And I'm going, oh, wait, okay, wait, stop. Let's just pray God's way. Because it takes us out of the middle of having to worry about, you know, I should pray for rain. I shouldn't pray for rain. I should, you know, I mean, that situation just keeps us in the middle where we can just pray in the Spirit, not knowing what we're saying, and it's okay. Because God knows. So.
We are told that he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. And a lot of people don't even understand what that means, but this building here is called an edifice. It was solely built up, and a lot of people were part of it, including me. But that's what an edifice is. And so you are slowly built up into something that God is building. And that's a promise.
Don't ever want to forget his promises, because, you know, for some reason I think it's just been a long week. I know that doesn't make sense, like everybody's having a long week. But I know that I've struggled this past week. I think I had 2 panic attacks. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, what's going on? Because I'm not supposed to be having these, you know, anymore. But there's victory in it, because it's the Lord who's helping me through them. Because normally I would be on the phone, running down the hall, waking up Courtney. I mean, you know, all this, and all of a sudden I'm going, okay, so, and it's something that the Lord is just saying, okay, what about me? And when the electricity, we had a glitch in the electricity, and so the scriptures went off. And of course, it's like way beyond my mental ability to turn back on. So I'm going, all of a sudden I'm laying there and I'm going, I mean, the devil has to, you know, I tell you, it's very frustrating, because for me, and if Curtis was here, he'd say the devil does the same thing to him, but he speaks very loudly, okay? And I'm just sitting there, what can I do? Oh, why don't I get up and turn the scriptures on? So, you know, I did that, and the dog and I slept better.
Oh, yeah. You know,
I mean, because it is peaceful, and it is loving, and we just don't take advantage of that. That, you know, makes, I'm going, why hadn't I done that? So, God has truly had a lot of victory in me, but I can't really, like, pinpoint and say, okay, this, or this, but it's all these that he's just, I figure he doesn't have time for anybody else, because he's just working on it. No, that's the one thing about God, is he's so wonderful that he has time for everybody.
Yeah. Oh, for a second there, I was saying, if you've had things going on but they're not happening, that's because God's been kind of busy trying to take care of Susan.
Yeah, yeah, draining
them. Sucking them all the time. Was there enough?
That's not true.
I know.
I'm
here about
too.
I know. I mean, I often think that God's up there, you know, with, you know, slapping his hand against his forehead. You know, but oh, it's Susan again. You know,
he may.
No, but then he continues on.
Yeah,
the thing that he says he's not, like, no matter what, he's saying, come on to me and bring it on to me. Like, he's the one who's like, Susan, come to me. Stop hitting your own head against the wall. I'm right here, Susan, no matter what, every single time, and that is glory and love.
And that's wonderful. Unfortunately, sometimes when you're
in the moment,
you're like, I can't think of anything.
Right.
You know, and that's why, like, having the scriptures play, or just having a gentle reminder, and I think sometimes I really asked the Lord to, you know, slap me across the back of the head if you want to. I mean, you don't have to be delicate. Just remind me that you are here, you know. And he has been. He's been glorious, you know. You didn't slap me.
No, but it's been my prayer. Lord, if you want me to slap Susan, he hasn't come through yet. So I guess he's figured. No, I got it. So, I did want to share kind of a more serious thing, but it's like this. I think we need to all remember, we've been talking about we need to bring every thought into captivity of the Lord. You know, every thought. And, you know, the enemy is going to come in and, you know, gets that stray shot. You know, and all it is trying to, like, plant that little momentary or not so momentary doubt. And then you know, then you spin off on that and you're trying to reel that back in. And part of what Susan's testimony that was impacting to me was in what we've been asking the Lord to do in our lives, which is to bring all of our thoughts into captivity of the Lord. In a way, Susan was having victory in that because she was saying, you know, da da da, and all of a sudden, you know, ding, okay, now I'm not in the place I want to be. And she basically went to God, and God then brought that back and brought that thought and those feelings into captivity and gave it to the Lord. And then, you know, when you have that, kind of like when you pray for deliverance, you know, the very next step is, okay, Lord, fill this gap with you. You know, Lord, send your angels. Minister. Let me feel your unbelievable love or amazing, unbelievable joy or peace or whichever, you know, comfort. And let that carry me through whatever trip that this deception the enemy is trying to bring. You know? And we're human, and it never happens fast enough. It's never quick enough, never clear enough. But you know, like we often say, the quiet, still voice of the Lord. You know, and I think the only way you can hear the quiet, still voice of the Lord is to quiet all of the things the enemy's trying to bring to you, mm-hmm. and just get them out of the way.
I think very often he uses our own voice and our own head within what's in our own control to forget that God is in control. So this horrible situation we're facing too, or this thing that somebody did or whatever it is, God allowed that situation too, and so this is okay. This situation's okay, and we get afraid of something, or we need something, or we can do something, and that spirals, and then like the anxiety attack is a lot like a demonic attack, and we get to test those spirits and those things that question us and cast down imaginations and all things that exalt itself above the power of God and bring all those things into subjection of Christ and really test, like, no, this part's okay too, and remind ourselves of that, and that God's not up there going, oh my gosh, Susan, what are you thinking? He's up there going, let me help you. Like, well, yeah, because he says, I'll be there with you. We'll get through this together.
Yeah.
And if you look at a kid and say, what are you thinking? They're going to be like, oh. But if you say, going on, let's get through this together, we can get through this too, we got this, it's like, okay, you know, if you're being a pill and Corky's got him going, Susan, what's going on, let's get through this, or Susan, what are you doing? But if we remind ourselves that we're going to get through this is God's aspect, that's fantastic.
But I agree 100%. What's really awesome for me is when I'm ready to, like, Quirky, you know, wake up and do something about it. But when God says, no, I'm awake, I'll do something about it if you ask me.
Right.
Isn't so, and that's where it is really, really glorious. And I have just been having it on my heart over and over and over. I can't even tell you how much that the Lord has just been impressing upon me that we all need to ask for the gifts of the Spirit. That the gifts are all out there. He's waiting for us to ask. And I know that sounds like a generic thing, and certainly don't mean it, but all the gifts of the Spirit, God is saying, you guys need to man up and start asking for what you want. Mm-hmm. Specifically, what do you want? I mean, I'm gonna give you what you want. Ask me. Because now's the time when we are all going to need to be together to use the gifts of the Spirit as a unit. That sounds kind of weird, but as a group.
As a body.
As a body. Thank you. I couldn't think of a word. Mm-hmm. You know. And see, that's how we work as a body. Somebody helps you fill in the word. But he's saying, and I can't tell you, I've just had this on my heart for probably a month. He keeps saying, you people need to ask what you want. What gift do you want? I'm going to give it to you. And you people sounds really bad, but
that's a good one. And by your faith, we've talked about that the faith and the believing is like a key element. So why would we not act, believe it?
Yeah. I mean, you need to ask me because I've told you that these gifts are here. Ask me and you're going to get it. It's not going to, you know, and I don't know. I'm just saying, we all, doesn't matter what you're doing, where you're at, how you feel, who, anything, mm-hmm. ask. Because God's just waiting. And there just seems to be such an impression that we need to ask because we are going to need those gifts. Mm-hmm. So, there you have it.
I have a mug, and I was just, probably when I were discussing this before this whole thing, but I have a mug, I don't know, Brittany gave me or something, and it says, sometimes all I can do is bow my head and pray or something, and then there's a song, a current song, sometimes all I can do is pray, and Pablo was telling me, over a month ago, he was like, you know, I think you said it, like, the last service you were here. Like, that's a silly mug. Sometimes all I can do is pray. What more? I mean, yes, by faith, action. But if you're like, well, I've done everything else, I guess I'll just pray. It's like, huh, maybe if we switch that around, you know, and I can attest that, you know, in the last, I don't know, 30-some days, I couldn't even say, sometimes all I can do is pray. I literally just prayed. There was nothing else for me to do.
Skip the all.
and skip the sometimes.
Yep.
It was like every minute of every day, keep that full armor of God. And that every single morning, over the last like 3-4 years, but especially in the last few months, I just, in my shower, I do this funny, like, sweeping of my body of, like, cast all my cares, wherever the cares are, if they're here or not, cast all my cares, and then I say, okay, Lord, now give me the full armor of God. Quickly. I just cast all my cares, and I'll quickly just armor of God.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems like the days that I've forgotten, I didn't have the full armor. But if I can remember, and then it's, like, almost spoken into existence throughout the day, it's there. I remember. I have everything that I need to conquer that day. Because the devil will try.
Amen.
He really likes to try. And he really likes to try, not those that don't care, not those that aren't believing. He likes to try for the ones that the Bible is written for that believe every word. You believe every word, that's who the devil buffets. You know. So.
Years ago, I asked for the gift of intercession, thinking that there was nothing else I could do, that I wasn't worthy of anything else, and that would probably be the simplest thing for me to ask for, because who can't pray? You know, all you have to do is sit down and pray. Well, little did I know what I was asking for. It's more than that. It's giving yourself over to that prayer, to pray, to be available anytime, night or day, and I do believe I received the gift of intercession, and I kind of put it on a back burner at times, but prayer has been essential to my life. Without it, I would not be here today. I can attest to that, truly. I want my life to be a prayer. My whole life, anything I do, anything I say, I want that to be my prayer. I fail, I pick myself up, and I give the Lord authority to do whatever He needs to do to bring me back to that. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to give authority over to God to be what we need all the time. And to take away the authority of the devil, to rebuke that authority that he seems to want to take. My daughter, oldest daughter, was going through some things, and I think I attested to this Tuesday night, but I was praying with her. I was kind of trying to encourage her and stuff. I sent a text on my phone, and then I sent it, and I thought, well, this is ridiculous. Why aren't I sending a prayer to her instead of just praying? Let her see my prayer. So I texted a prayer to her, and now she's using that every day. And that's part of prayer, giving people how to pray too for themselves, I think. Prayer isn't just asking God for whatever. Prayer is helping others.
Mm-hmm. I think that's how we're supposed to worship. In everything, every time we manifest love and pray or do that, that is worshiping in our life, and our life is supposed to be manifesting that. And worship isn't necessarily just something with music and whatever, but the way we live and allowing Him to manifest that through us.
Yes.
For those of us that know how to pray, I think it's important to get that armor of prayer on at all times. Like years ago, I learned from my mother that I just realized that I would have, especially when I really needed it, it was almost like, you know, because I do pray in tongues, it was almost like the tongues were a loop tape in my head. So I would go about my day doing my thing, and I would realize that I have this, you know, and I can say loop tape because I grew up when there was tapes, you know, so it was like this loop tape in my head of praying, you know, in tongues. And when you have that armored up and ready, it's a lot harder for the devil to do anything to you, because there's a constant resisting. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. So if you're constantly in the mode of resisting, now we all fail. Everyone just fails. But if you can try and get in that mindset of constantly resisting, because where God is, there's not fear. Where fear is, there's not God. Where there's those thoughts, God can't dwell. He wants to dwell there. But we have to be willing also to just constantly keep that prayer going in our mind. And it is easy when we fail to say, hey, can you pray for me? I need prayer. Yes, but you, as the believer, also have the ability to pray for yourself, because God's given you just as much authority to pray for yourself. You know what I mean? That's where the faith comes in. If I have a problem, my prayer needs to be just as strong as Pablo's prayer over me. I need to get to the point where I believe my prayer, because if I was stuck in the desert alone and I had a broken arm, I'm not going to be able to call on anyone. I'm going to just call on the Lord with my own strength. And so, and it's hard. It's a lot easier to pass the buck, which sounds so bad, to sound like, I'll just wait till so-and-so comes and prays with me. Yep, but in the meantime, you keep praying for yourself. And it's harder. I think it's a lot harder to accept that your prayers are just as strong as your neighbor's. You know?
Prayers are a way of spending time with our Lord, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're not alone when we pray.
Right.
We're with our Lord. We're spending time with Him, which He desires of us.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, Jesus, No, he prayed in the chapter 17 of John. He's like a big prayer. I mean, it's a long prayer. You know, Lord this, Lord that, whatever. But the majority, if not all, except for John 17, are get off your chair, walk, pray that. Prayer is over. Mm-hmm. Be healed. Okay. Prayer is over. Do this, do that. Stand up. Be whatever. Now, I am not saying by any means that all prayer should be two words, because it's not. It's not. Because in other places it says, you know, you don't know how to pray and whatever, and you need to pray, and that's how you get close to the Lord and whatever. But we don't have to try to find out a prayer. We don't have to try to figure out a 10-minute prayer or a 1-minute, a 60-second prayer. We don't have to try to find out. The prayer is, what do you need? Are you hungry? Okay, Lord, I'm hungry. Feed me. Prayer is over. Your mentality probably needs to stay in the thankfulness or whatever. Now, not always. There's obviously occasions to pray longer, like Jesus. But there's nothing wrong about a short prayer. A 3, 4, 5 word prayer is as powerful as a long prayer. Mm. And it says, you think you're hurt by your many words.
Yeah.
So not because of your many words. Now, on the other hand, yeah, do you have many words? Say them. No, if you have them. But don't start making stuff up and Lord this, Lord that. You know what I mean? Also, right. I do welcome every prayer that I have ever had in the church. I mean, you guys' prayers are amazing. They're awesome. I don't want to point my fingers at any prayer. But I'll end that in again, one more time. Don't be, if you don't have many prayers, just pray whatever you got. I mean, how big are your knees? I mean, you have a stomachache, let's say. Look, how stubborn the game, heal it. God doesn't need anything else. He really doesn't.
I think that's the next part of the praying in tongues, where when we pray so many times, it's okay, God, I need you to do these things, and I'm here before you to do this, and please do this way, and do this for this person, and do this. And there's like that communal, when a kid comes up to you and gives you the news, they're just spewing everything at you. And sometimes when we worship or pray in tongues, it's that getting before God and saying, I want to commune with you, and I don't even have to know what I'm saying. I'm here, whether that's one word over and over, the same one. Whatever the thing is that he's giving you, it's just a willingness to babble and say, I'm here for what it is that you want from me. Whatever your will is, I don't even know what I'm asking of you, but I want to connect and I want that and I accept it. And here I am, foolish before you, because anyone else hears me praying and I sound like I'm going to the nut house. But I'm here and willing and you do it.
Yeah.
And that's such a freeing position and an awesome connection with him and giving him that.
A lot of times I just... My prayer is help.
Yeah, yes. SOS.
A lot of times her prayer is help,
help.
Right. Yeah, because the Bible says God knows what you have need of.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't want you to ask, but help?
Yeah, sometimes it's help.
Help me.
Read a section of scripture here in Mark.
Mark?
Yeah, 11, 20. It starts in 21.
Mark 11?
Yes. Yeah. Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you say and pray, well, then it's about forgiveness. But I read that, I don't know, a week or so on Tuesday night, and it really struck me that, and I said, so how do you just believe? and it'll happen. I mean, all of this is on asking stuff that's worthy, not. Yeah, want some more money or whatever. But if you're in need, I think without thinking, in the last couple of weeks, said something about, I'm going to help you provide, because things are getting kind of,
I have probably not worked almost every day in the last 2 weeks. You know, so it was kind of an answer to prayer. And then I'm just so thankful, I don't know how he's doing it, but that I'm capable of even doing the work that I've been doing. So that's a blessing. So, yeah. But we were kind of just dwelt on that a little bit. It's like, if you believe,
right,
it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, that's true.
Right.
How do I get there?
Yeah. That's part of what, like, all of the things that are going on in my life, and I've talked to Grandpa a billion times, and my new favorite saying is zebras, because, like, if we hear hooves running down the road, and it's probably horses, we live in Wisconsin, I wouldn't think it's a pack of wild zebras. So why do I sometimes run to the wild zebras and let anxiety become an issue? But I've realized in so many things that if I believe God, and I believe that all he works all things out, it did not look good when Jesus was crucified. Like, that did not look so great in the moment. So in all the things that don't look so great in the moment, he's still providing, and it's better than what I think, no matter what, and all the things he's going to provide. And he does in his time, and every time I try to take control of any situation, it doesn't work out so great, you know? There's a whale or a, you know, a storm or whatever it is. And I can't complain about those things when I'm asking him to do something, you know? If I want him to do something in my life, I get to ride that and know this too, this is perfect somehow. It doesn't feel perfect, it doesn't seem perfect, but if I trust in him, then I can be in a lion's den and say this is perfect too. And that's where power comes in, because I believe that whether the lion eats me or the lion lets me pet it all night, either one is God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that is, I don't have to fight the lion. If I walked in there and was like, lion, let's go, the lion's probably going to eat me because I'm ready to fight it. But the only, like, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. I wrestle nonstop with demonic things in my own head. That's the only place that I can wrestle with those things. And they try to get at me using my voice or somebody else's or someone's judgment of me or interpretation or whatever tornado I could spiral in my own head. And the only power I have over that is saying, no, God is in control. This is okay to take the wheel. And love.
Knowing that it's necessary, whatever you're going through.
Right. When you give, when you trust the Lord and you're willing, and you're willing, and you're willing, you're willing, willing to go into the fire and not get burnt. When you're willing and you want to obey the Lord fully, and then you go through the lion's den, or sometimes when you're not as willing, and then he sends a whale, all of those things seem overburdened. But then when you look back, you see how he used it. But when you are willing and you want prayer, freedom, deliverance, and you give your whole self to the Lord, when you ask for something, whether it be, you know, however, when you're willing for him to do however he does it, there's the lion's den, there's the fire, there's lots of things, including a stroke. So when you're willing, you have to be prepared, because God will cause. He will cause the thing to happen for his own glory and for the best way. And it's definitely, I cling to the, though I walk through fire, I won't be burned. Because we're going to walk through fire. We're humans. But it's always for our best. Because God works all things, all things.
Good.
Yep.
We love
you. Correct. Well, and being made perfect, then Jesus was glorified, and we get to be made perfect through suffering. It's not. I'm not going to be made perfect because I'm like, hey, make me perfect now. I'm ready now.
I think it says that somewhere.
Right.
You're not
the
perfect.
The mountains are much
suffering.
More beautiful.
Or he was made perfect, I guess.
He was, right? And it says that we can be made perfect, and the things that we're going through are for our, you know, edifying and for our refining, and we just are clay. He's creating in us what we need, but we have to go through that. And I'm sure it's not fun for coal to go under pressure to become a diamond either, you know, or however, all of those things. It's not fun to be in a cocoon before you're a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't get to just be like, hey, flip the switch. I'm ready now.
Well, if you pray for something
and you don't receive it, that doesn't mean you won't get it later. It just means that God sees you not in the right place at this time to receive it.
Correct.
You know.
Right. Or maybe that situation is being allowed for a reason. You know, we have to climb the mountain. We need the strength. We need to learn. We need whatever that situation is.
And it's not always just us that it's about.
Right.
There's a whole church body, a whole family, a whole world out there that is involved in it.
Right. Even when Jesus prayed, he said, take this cup. If there's any way, take this cup. Please don't make me. But nevertheless, your will. Nevertheless, your will, and I think that's really important because I know a lot of times, especially when I used to pray, like, okay, God, do all these things. And then why aren't you answering my prayer?
You didn't do it.
Right. But then when I pray, okay, nevertheless, your will, then I know my prayer 100% is answered because whatever he allowed is his will, and so therefore my prayer is answered. It's just not according to my will. It's according to his, and if I know that and believe that, it's glory in whatever it is. Whatever this boat is, too, even if I don't like it.
Wasn't the answer you thought.
Right. But it's the answer that I needed, and then nevertheless your will, and that means that his answer is leading to something so much better than what I think, and just because my puny human brain doesn't understand it, doesn't mean that it's not better, and better for his kingdom, and better for whatever he has planned. Then nevertheless your will, whatever that is, and learning to actually be good with that.
The scripture that says, pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
That always was right. Seriously? Yeah. How do I do that? Yeah. Well, I guess that's kind of what I meant by saying, I want my life to be a prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess that's what Jesus was.
Yeah.
So, it would be the first thing we think of.
Mm-hmm. Anything other than that is exalting itself above the knowledge of God, because he's in control. Whether we accept and like it or not, he's still in control. It's just our accepting of it.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, pray, keep praying, see, you know, never cease praying. And, you know, you can have a two-word prayer. And you go, okay. You know, I was struck with you're not going to basically convince God to change his plan because you prayed 7 minutes instead of two. And you're not going to convince him that you have more wisdom with how long or how hard or how fervently you pray. Because it's his plan.
Mm-hmm.
So there's power in short prayers and turning it over to God. What I've been excited to hear this morning is that, okay, look, we defer to you. In all things. We defer to you in all things. And even though it may be hard in the things that you're doing, we're deferring to you because we know you love us and you have our best interest at heart, even if we're not sharp enough to see it. And that's the tough part. It's like, why, Lord, have you forsaken me? I haven't. Well, this is a little harder than I was hoping for. Yeah? That's the way it is.
Right.
That's just the way it is. Now, can you love and accept him for the fact that he didn't get the easy path? Can you continue to follow him and seek him while you're on the tough path? Yes, I can, because I got faith that you're going to get me to where I need to be. And if my path ends up being tough all the way, then that was your will too.
Mm-hmm.
And what can we do when we're on that tough path? How can we still be used by God to help others? That's, I think, you know, the testimony that you can make as to where your faith is.
I think about, like, when a kid tells you something that they want, or, like, me telling Pablo. Pablo's not a, you know, detailed with his work and stuff, but we were discussing these last couple of days that I wanted to get a new mop, you know? And it's like when the child is telling you, I need something. Okay, as a parent, okay, all right, now I know they need markers by Tuesday and whatever. It's when they go on and on, because the other markers I have, I took them, you know, and you're listening, but the important was, I need markers by Tuesday and a notebook by Wednesday, or you know what I mean? And so I think often, like when I'm telling Pablo, you know, like, wait, well, we needed a mop because the other mop didn't work. And then when I mopped the third, and he'll say, okay, so we need a mop. I'm like, yes, okay, let's get a mop. And like, then a little bit later, you know, like, well, I need a mop because then the other mop, but then the tiles, and he's like, do we need a mop? Let's get a mop. And then it's done. So, you know, so I think about how the Lord is like, I need something of you, Lord. And then, you know, and I know he doesn't treat us like that, but I know at one point the rest is probably just muted because he just heard what we had need of.
I love the short prayers. I do. It's like, God knows everything already anyway, so what are you going to explain to him about what has to be done? Just say, Lord, do it. Lord,
I think women, because we're more emotional women, I mean, when I pray, I love to pray. And I'm not just like, Lord, give me angel healing, Lord, give me whatever. But sometimes when I'm praying, especially when I'm praying over Pablo, and he likes my long prayers. Not my long explanations about needing mops, but he likes my long prayers. But when I pray, all of a sudden, when I'm done, I couldn't go back and, okay, no, what did I, well, because I just pray and then I'm done. But sometimes it's just like, there's feels like there's like extra meat in sometimes how you feel. And I know probably because we're women, we feel like we have more things to say, you know. But it's definitely, God only needs, like Susan said, help.
Help.
My long prayers are easy because I want to spend time with my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to him.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a little.
And that's a wonderful time.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
More communion. That's
yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it matters.
Other prayers are when I'm praying for other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, between you and the Lord, I don't think.
I mean,
well,
love.
It could go on for days, and I don't think it would matter.
Right.
I mean, that's Lord. I'm not feeling too good today. What can we do about this? You know? Or like right now, my constant prayer is for him because he lost his wallet and it's causing him such great stress.
Right.
So I love praying all day long about it because it's a need for him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I want a long prayer, but
to be in constant communion, like
constant communion.
Yeah, it's like so many times in my most stressful moments, especially when my kids were younger, you know, there's a lot more. I would just like try and pray in the back of my head. So then, as things would happen, it was all of a sudden my mind was like, oh, I gotta pray. And so to have that in the background where I can literally, it's almost like something above me, like a great big tree. I can just pull it down when I, you know what I mean, like just to have it. And it is important so that at any point you can give it to the Lord exactly what you should be doing all along.
I had a good situation that challenged me. I hate to, like, lose money, you know, just. And so I had gotten a gift card at Christmas or something, two of them, and I used the one right away, and I was waiting to see what else I might want. And I went to get it, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I thought, how did I lose that? And I thought, okay, you just got to accept it. Don't, you know, because I would probably dwell on it in the past a lot longer. And I just went, well, okay, $50, it's gone. It wasn't my money anyway, necessarily. But, you know, I felt bad because somebody gave it to me. So here, about a week ago, I go move something on the shelf in the cabinet, and this card goes poof, it was standing on the edge. And I don't remember sticking it in there at all. And it just went plop, and I went, that looks like that. So then I went to Farm and Fleet and went in and asked if they could tell me if it was good or not. And they said, yeah, $50.
It was like
a month and a half. Well, since Christmas, it wasn't too long after that I lost it. And so all that time, and I don't know how it got there. But part of it was giving it up, you know, not stretching over the fact that, you know, it's like, well, okay, it's money, so what? You know, it's gone.
Let me tell you the fact of what's gone. But what's the problem is, all this stuff you gotta go through and renew.
That's
the stuff that just puts the pressure on.
Yeah. I dread the fact of ever losing a credit card.
Credit cards are easy. You know, I can call them.
You call them in.
I got the DMV, I've got my medical stuff, and all that stuff is gone.
Because mm-hmm. You get all these little cards when you have surgery.
And you know it's somewhere. Your wallet didn't disappear, so it's somewhere, so it's got to be buggy.
It's nowhere around.
Right, which is so annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, but anyway, you know, that's what puts the stress on. Yeah. Admitting the fact that it's happening.
Oh, yeah. I know the fact.
I'm trying
to get all that new stuff.
Yeah.
Trying to do that.
Yeah.
This one, I just got to fix my girl yesterday. And I just closed my mind. She has all her stuff on the phone. And she lost her phone at somebody's store. She went to print her and said, take it. Like, she wanted a cup of coffee and something to eat. And all she had was a check. And they went to take a check. So there were the ladies that in the lounge. She must have heard that. They would take a check. And she was, they were $20. So she said, and was a complete stranger. And she just disappeared. And she was like, you know, like, indoors, and you know, it was like, you know, who does that?
Kind of thing.
There are people who do all that, too. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. The Lord provides.
Yeah. But it's so disheartening. I don't know how many times I've lost my shirt. Whatever. At McDonald's. Where else? In Walmart. I'm thinking of finding you. And the gas is, I mean, it just is too many. But they always have them. And with someone to replace everything.
The Lord, too, will do this.
Mm-hmm. It takes a different place of faith to be able to just pray and go, God's got it. I mean, as a body, I don't know that we were in that place back in the day. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the constant dwelling upon the scriptures grows faith. Mm-hmm. And listen to the word and let your faith grow. And so it enables us to do things. One thought that occurred to me earlier during service was, well, I think we can tend to underestimate the enemy in the sense that the enemy knows exactly what it is to trigger you. And that's, I'm trying to use this as a trendy word, but the enemy knows that this particular thing is going to get under your skin more than that thing. And he knows that what might really fire up Ken is not the same thing as going to fire up me. Although we're getting more like every day. But I mean, we tend to just say, oh, you know, I got to worry about, you know, the enemy knows what it is that's going to bother you. Whether it's, you know, whatever thing you're still trying to get better at, he'll attack you in that thing. To try and get you off your game.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be alert and vigilant to understand that. And that's why, you know, we often say, how many times is the Lord, you know, Lord, I've got this area, I've got this sin, I don't want this. And then the enemy even turns around and says, hey, you know, he's got it 500 times, and after that you're on your own. And that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his love is limitless. You know, if we are sincere that we don't want this affliction or this problem, he will take care of that. It's just, is he going to take care of it in a way that you recognize and realize right away? Or is it handled and you just don't know? But if you walk in faith, you can know that it's been dealt with. not see the results of it being dealt with. But don't, you know, it just came to me, don't underestimate the fact that you are going to be tried and tested in this newfound level of faith that we're trying to walk in.
And usually you're going to be tried and tested on that same dang thing because the devil knows that that's the spot.
But,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, there's things that I get tried and tested on, I'm sure, whatever, that don't really fade. It's like, okay, devil. But then there's the other things. And those are the things that, you know, definitely the devil knows.
And sometimes that's just a simple thing like a comment or something somebody does or something that happens or we don't even think about it and it just like internally eats at us. And it's still just one of those things and it's like a nip or a scratch at a wound in some kind of a demonic hurt that we can let spiral in our head or just say, eh, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing or what they're saying or their intentions were well. Just like, you know, Jesus on the cross. It's forgive them. They know not what they do. And we have to kind of hone that in within ourselves and know, you know, this one's okay too. Because I want him to do that on the day of judgment. I want him to see me come in and be like, she's a pill, but she did it.
The goal is to have fewer things that are going to get to you.
Right.
That gets back to every thought and activity in the Lord.
Well, and even in that, just having that armor and knowing that no matter what, no matter who, no matter how it offends me, offense is taken, not given necessarily. So I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to feel that. And your opinion is yours, and God's is his, and he knows the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So I don't have to tell my story or do anything else. Just love. You're like, all right, cool. That's great. That's a nice thing, because it can't hurt me unless he allows it. And just like when Jesus was going, okay, do you not know that I have power to have you crucified? Let you go. And Jesus said, you don't have any power unless it's given to you from my Father. And I have to remind myself of that all the time. You don't have any power unless God's allowed it. So
what defines you, is it the devil, what the devil says, or what Jesus says?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you?
Right.
I am a child of God, not the devil.
Right.
So I want God to define me. Not the devil.
Right.
Oh, I got scripture to read next.
Oh.
And you, this is Ephesians 2, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. This is, I read this earlier this morning, this is interesting. According to the prince of the power of the air, which that's I. The Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is kind of now. This isn't like when you go to heaven, you know. This is saying you already have a position with him. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Then the next one does say, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So I've been kind of hearing some of that and all of what you guys have been saying, that you're walking in areas of that, you know, and because we know it's up to God, it's by his grace that we get anything, and that we're forgiven, and so, you know, and all of this, I read, happened to me earlier this morning, was preordained before the foundations of the world. You sitting here was already planned before the world was formed.
Which that goes with what I was just reading in my Bible, the Romans 8:28-30, where he says, and we know that he works all things together for the good of them who love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. For we know that he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to, or for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, that we too get to be conformed.
Yeah.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called, and whom he called, he also justified. All of those things, he justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. So if I'm justified,
and
I want to be I want to be conformed, and I want that. Put me on the cross. Let him get me to the place where I can say, forgive him, heal him, and do it, and love him anyway, and go willingly, and know that somehow that is going to get me where I need to be. Glory. Glory in that storm, right?
By his great exceeding grace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Jesus. That was where I was at. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us all, wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed for himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, in him. I'll stop. So those two really line up together.
Right.
Romans, Ephesians.
Great and wonderful are his promises.
Then I suppose the question is, how do I know if I'm the one of them? Well, if you're asking for one that's taken this right step, otherwise you wouldn't care.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we're all striving, we're there, and we're one of those. I mean, you don't take it for granted, but you can know that, you know, you're on the right.
We're in the ballpark.
You're in the ballpark.
I'm happy that I'm equally struggling, you know, and
yeah.
If not, things aren't just woo-hoo all the time. I'm happy that we get those tests. It's not easy.
Love you all.